Oh, Dominic, we are welcome right from the top by another fine guest. He is Andrew Seidel, the returning champion. He is the director of strategic response from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. He has an extensive resume, but that's all I'm reading, Andrew. Welcome back, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on again, gentlemen. It's a pleasure, always.
Always, well, Andrew. Thank you.
Happy Friday to you. Andrew, I'm gonna start this segment by telling a really brief story. I have a son who is on the autism spectrum. And I read articles, and whenever it mentions autism, I always take note. And why I took note of this particular article, it said that people on the autism spectrum aren't always well suited for all jobs. And part of the reason why is they're too moral. They tell the truth. They're just grounded in morals, and that doesn't always suit them. And I was thinking as I read your fine piece, my son would not be well suited for, let's say, politics or perhaps the pulpit. you've written a fine piece, and you talk about some really intriguing concepts, sort of a religious permission structure. And this is a newer concept for me, and I consider myself a religious man. But Andrew, start by kind of giving me a broad thought so I know that I understand it. What is the permission structure, and what's it mean when it's handed down from God?
Yeah, I mean, a permission structure is sort of this schematic of ideas that we each have that justifies an action for us. And the dicier or more immoral an action, the more you need a permission structure to override your innate morality and innate humanity. And religion historically and in the current climate, the anti-vaccine climate that we're seeing, is really playing a role both in accepting the disinformation that is just running rampant and roughshod over our society, to also justifying simply immoral actions such as refusing to wear a mask or refusing to get vaccinated. And this is, again, something we've seen throughout history. Slavery was a huge problem here in the United States for a long time. Religion was one of the big things that justified it. People used to point to the Bible. It can be used to justify all manner of good and bad things. The problem comes when it's those immoral things.
Well, Andrew, when your justification comes from God Almighty, that's an awfully strong justification. Do you think that somehow gives them a greater sort of internal rationalization?
Oh, absolutely, because it makes it immune to external pressures, right? Other people saying to you, hey, you could save a life by wearing a mask. Hey, that's another human being that you are shackling and forcing to do your labor. They can say, no, God has told me differently. And that shuts down everything. It immediately removes it. And instead of a rational debate about morality or engaging on these issues, they have assigned their own immoral actions a divine mandate, a holy writ. And that is unassailable. The only way to get at it is to get at the religion itself.
And Andrew, you mentioned in your piece, religion and Christian nationalism sort of intersect, and they have provided a moral permission for immoral acts. And specifically, you referenced the January 6th insurrection. What do you mean by that, Andrew?
Yeah, so I would encourage everybody to keep an ear out for this and stay tuned to the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We're going to have some big announcements on that front. And this piece that we're talking about, too, is over on the Freedom From Religion Foundation blog, Free Thought Now. But if you watched what happened on January 6th, I mean, you saw a lot of ideologies at play there, QAnon, white nationalism. You saw the militia groups there. But the overriding unifying ideology there was Christian nationalism. It was the common tie among all of those. They carried a Christian flag onto the floor of the U.S. Senate. I mean, their flag said, Jesus is my savior, Trump is my president. There are flags that said, Jesus is king. There's people carried Bibles over the heads of the crowd as they stormed in to the Capitol itself. They made it very, very clear. It's just that it didn't get as wide a coverage as it should have. It started, the talk of Christian nationalism after January 6th started to enter the mainstream, but didn't quite make it all the way through. And there really is this very obvious common thread of Christian nationalism running through the insurrection of January 6th.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Andrew Seidel from the Freedom From Religion Foundation joining us via the Zoom. Andrew, to get that last name right, I'll make sure I got you right.
You got it.
All right. You mentioned the only way to get at it is to get at the religion. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, once somebody has said, I believe that it is acceptable to not wear a mask because my God has said so. I believe it's acceptable not to get a vaccine because my God has said so. I believe it's acceptable to enslave people because my God has said so. That has shut down all rational reasoned debate. And the only way then is to get at the religion itself and get them to start questioning all of the underpinnings of that religion, which is significantly more difficult.
I was going to say, I mean, how exactly do we go about dismantling?
Oh yeah. No, I mean,
it's a religion or someone's discussion of that. How do you do that?
I mean, it's incredibly difficult. And it's not going to happen in the conversation that you are having. I mean, that's just not possible. So it really is. And that is one reason that the religious permission structure is so difficult to undo, and it's so difficult to convince people that they are incorrect and that their clearly immoral action is in fact immoral. It's one of the reasons that mob that was storming through the halls on January 6th seemed so entitled and like there were not going to be any consequences for this action. And I should add too, I wrote a book called The Founding Myth, Why Christian Nationalism is Un-American. And the publisher is putting out a new version of that with an epilogue that is all about how January 6th and that insurrection was motivated by Christian nationalism. And I kind of lay out that evidence. It really is. It does make it significantly more difficult, though, to undo. And the flip side of that coin is it makes it so much more easy for them to justify immoral, hurtful, or bigoted behavior once they claim this unassailable divine permission structure.
Well, I thought the privilege, it was the white privilege of most of those folks, and they're along with their religion, perhaps, Andrew.
It's a great point, Don, but those two things are just intimately tied together in a way that I think a lot of people don't realize. And I when I say Christian nationalism, I really ought to be saying white Christian nationalism. And that is something that I get into in the epilogue of the Founding Myth.
I think you make a great point with regards to the symbolism there during the insurrection. I too noted, and maybe because I'm not the believer, when I see people coming with flags and, you know, the same thing and the Jesus is my God thing. And there was a lot of that there. And you could watch any of the footage and you can see lots of Christian symbolism during the insurrection. Maybe I've looked at it in too simple of terms. I kind of thought, well, if you're a believer, maybe you're just more of a sucker for, you know, this kind of thing. So if you believe in God or a God or whatever that might be that I don't believe in, well, then maybe you're more apt to believe someone, an authoritarian figure like Donald Trump or QAnon or conspiracy stuff. But Crudy mentioned, I mean, he's a faithful man and he's got the vaccine. What do you think the distinction is between those who believe and still understand science versus those that will hide behind that religion? Is interpretation? How would you address that?
Yeah, it's a good question. The short answer is I think it's different for everybody. I don't think there's a one size fits all answer for that. There's also a really interesting, there's a lot of data now suggesting that politics influences religion more than the other way around. And I think you can actually see this happening right now with this claim that is popping up that all of a sudden religion requires exemptions from the vaccines. No church, no religion, no major body has expressed any theological objection to the vaccines. None. But you have these small Christian nationalist churches, these churches that are steeped in conservative politics as much as they are in the Bible. And they're the ones that are fighting against masks. They're the ones that are fighting against vaccines. And I think that is really kind of crucial to the question that you just got at. And it was something that I was really trying to get at in the piece. They've kind of reverse engineered this permission structure in this case, because we have seen historically in the courts, religious freedom is a license to do whatever. So they're looking at that and saying, okay, now my politics dictate that I want this. I know religious freedom is essentially a get out of jail free card, so I can go ahead and do this. There's no newfound biblical text on vaccines. There's no new scroll that was discovered that talks about shots in the arm. The people don't want to get the vaccines, so they're claiming that their God doesn't want them to get the shot. It's just another abuse of religious freedom.
Can I just claim my God wants them to get the shot and make them have the shot? I mean, what kind of an argument is that, Andrew?
Yeah, I know. But this ties it back together. It's not an argument, right? It's just, I have a divine mandate to do this. The whole point is that it's not an argument. It's to remove it from the realm of argument.
Andrew Seidel, Director of Strategic Response, Freedom from Religion Foundation. The fine article we kept referencing, it's found at thepatheos.com. Sheep, goats, and vaccines, how religion creates a permission structure for anti-vaxxers. I want to slide one in there about the ivermectin. Wondered how that all factored in the sheep paste. But Andrew, we'll have to save that for another Friday. Thank you so much for coming around.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Andrew.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. More of this big show when we come back. Dial us up, 844-967-2789. And, it's going to use some sound from Trump as well. You know, he got booed in Alabama trying to encourage the religious, the cult members, get a vaccine. They said, hell no. God says no. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. God said, listen to this show.
You know what I am? I'm a nationalist.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
We're on a mission from God.